Okay, I've got you on speaker now, sir.
Okay, so Mr. Bruni, would you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Stephen Allen Bruni, B-R-U-N-I. My DOC number is 037139.
Okay. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing today. You heard the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and myself. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I am going to be acting as your panel lead for this hearing today, okay?
Okay.
So, sir, it looks like you were granted home arrest on December 11th of 2017. You were actually released on March 29th of 2018 of this year. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we do have, from the parole officer, we do have the his report that we have from the parole officer. But before I go over some of that, Mr. Bruni, you were actually incarcerated, and it looks like that you originally, turn this paper around, you originally went in, since began on March 13th of 1980?
No, so I originally was arrested and sentenced August of 1980. I was arrested October 22nd of 1979.
Okay, well, according to the paper that we have, it just says your sentence began on March 13th of 1980.
Finished August 8th of the 1980, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll go with that, sir, and that you actually became parole eligible on your last sentence, which would have been March 18th of 2018. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you had aggravated assault cases and kidnapping and sexual assault, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Bruni, why don't you tell me, tell the board a little bit about what you're doing since you've been out on home arrest, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, from the first week I was out, there wasn't much I could accomplish because I didn't have any transportation or any itinerary for them for the following week.
Okay.
I got out on Thursday. Tuesday, I met with my parole officer, and from there, I started working on getting my identification together. That Friday, I had already went down and registered as a sex offender with the sheriff's office and had my ID in the mail on its way to me. I have the papers with me. Tuesday afternoon, I went from here to the Social Security office, to the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, to the Department of Economic Security, and working through those places, I got my Social Security card in the mail on its way to me. I signed up for Department of Economic Security, working with them, putting for Social Security, for Social Security Disability, SSI, not eligible for disability. That was the first, third week I was out just doing identification. At the end of the third week, my ID showed up. I then started going around. I have been on close to 37 interviews for jobs throughout the city. The second week I was out, I volunteered for a work down at the bicycle reclamation yard and earned myself a bicycle while working there with those people. I've used that bicycle ride all over the city so far. I've got over 300 miles running around trying to find a job, job interviews. People who are on the phone tell me to come on down, they got a job for me, but when I show up, they find out I'm a registered sex offender or an ex-convict, or I'm on a home monitor, which I tell them on the phone, and they say no.
Okay.
I put over 150 applications online, and now I understand what the term spam means.
Spam?
Some friends of mine were nice enough to send me a cell phone and put me on their family plan. I had never before operated one before, getting out here this year. I have learned now that I can find pretty much anything on there. I'm not allowed on social websites, which I actually have no interest in anyway. As of yesterday, I am unemployed only because of the restrictions placed on me by the home arrest monitor and my ability not to drive or operate a motor vehicle. I had a driver's license, I would be employed. If I didn't have this monitor, I would definitely have at least 7-8 places I know that would call me back right now and hire me. I've got a listing in front of me right now of 16 more cabinet making woodworking shops that I just located yesterday at Arizona Workforce, along with 8 more websites that are listing nothing but more cabinet making woodcrafting shops, which is what my skills have been. Yesterday afternoon, while filling out applications at Arizona Workforce, I filled out an application for a truck driving for a CDL if I was to get my driver's license. Within a half hour, Swift Trucking contacted me, and the manager told me the moment I get my driver's license to give him a call, he would personally make sure that the company would put me through CDL school while employing me. So as soon as I get to my living room anyway, I can get a job. I've tried everything I possibly can to get a job. With the help of some friends that I've known for 35 years, they've been paying my rent at the halfway house. If I lose that rent, and I can't be asking to help me, you know, pay for that rent forever, if I lose that rent while I'm still on the ankle monitor, I end up going back to prison. I see no reason for me to go back to prison. I'm working hard at trying to find a job. I've turned in no dirty UAs. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I've attended all my classes, although I was late for one. I have a flat tire on my bike. Other than that, I've done everything my PO has asked me to. I've done everything the board has asked me to. I've stayed out of trouble and done what I could when I could as our opportunity knocks out. I've helped a few people out as I can. I'm enjoying life. I'm loving my freedom. I just wish I could get a job.
Okay, so you're still attending some classes. What classes are you attending, sir?
Right now, it's called relapse prevention course class, which is really right alongside the SOTP program, which when I met the board in December, the board actually has verified that I started up and then taught for 2 years in the Iowa prison system after taking the course for 2 years. I taught the SOTP program out there, and the board in December said that they verified that and did not recommend the SOTP program for me here. So when I was asked to take this course, I don't say no to anything my parole officer tells me to do, unless it's illegal, he's never asked me to do anything illegal. So I do what I've been asked to do, and I take it from there. The limitations placed on me by close to 2.5 hours sitting here reading through a manual that was very old and not well written in a course that I taught. Well, to me, I believe it's a waste of time and a waste of resources, but that's just on me. I was asked to take the course. I will take it and complete it unless somebody else tells me I don't have to.
Okay. So, sir, you've been getting around on your bike. How's that been going for you?
Well, I'm 62 years old. I did a ride from Sabino Canyon to Park Avenue in Valencia by the airport in under 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
That impressed everybody I tell that to. It impressed me. It almost killed me, but I made it. I didn't want to be violated for being a minute late. I've never been late. I've not deviated from the path, but one time, the first day I was out, I didn't know the rules. I learned the rules, I was violated twice.
So, sir, prior to being incarcerated, what kind of work did you do?
I was a draftsman for Jim Walters Homes, and I was a carpenter for Davis Moffett Air Force Base.
Okay. And is that the same line of business that you're looking into, or did you take some other trades up while you were incarcerated?
So I would refer you to a copy of my resume, but I haven't had a chance to send you all one yet. While I was in prison, I started out in the furniture factory in the Iowa prison system down in the Cutney Lab, learning how to operate a regular lawn saw. 7 years later, I was a lead draftsman, the only draftsman for the shop, as I redesigned the entire line of furniture that they had, as I had went through everything from cutting, manufacturing, assembly, processing, and even sales. Then I completed the welding course out here in Iowa, in Arizona, along with 3 building maintenance courses, which I turned around and taught cabinet making in. But last job, that good job that I had was at Southfield. I was a teacher's aide at Central Arizona College, teaching cabinet making out of the shop.
Okay. So, do you have any family out here, sir? I know that you said that you do have some friends who are paying your fees where you're staying at now. Is that right? Do you have any family?
No, sir. All my family's dead and gone.
Okay.
That 38 years and 5 months when I was in prison destroyed my life out there on the streets, out here on the streets completely. I'm starting new from scratch. The friends that I have out here now, two on the East Coast, two on the West Coast, and one in Adelaide, Australia, these are pen pals that I've known for 30, 35 years, 4 and 2 years respectively.
Uh-huh.
And two of the friends, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, have actually stepped up or gone beyond the call of duty and have more than been helpful with me in helping me with rent.
Okay.
So I can't be asking for much money longer, though. I got a good job.
Okay, so the sex SOP classes that you've had, how has that helped you, sir, as far as...
Well, the classes that we took back in the 80s that we laid out the structure for and then later taught gave all of us and the three of us guys that had an issue of what happened. Why did we do what we did? Once we got off the drugs and the alcohol and the all the withdrawals and the DPs, we got together with him from a psychiatrist and talked with him. He took us through from birth to the day, date, and time that we were working on this stuff, and we went through every single step of our lives. And we found out the multiple contributing factors, besides being altering our minds with drugs and alcohol, destroying our decision-making ability, our prior lives and the abuses of ourselves by our people that we trusted, loved, and cared for, we learned a lot. A, yes, it was my fault. I made those choices. It doesn't matter if my mind was messed up on drugs and food or not. The sexual deviancy came from the addiction to pornography. I don't view pornography in any way, shape, or form anymore, period. I do not drink. I will not have anything whatsoever to do with those that drink or do drugs in any way, shape, or form. I have been offered to be put on some kinds of medication for my back pain, which I would get. I have a degenerative disc. I'm taking ibuprofen. I've been offered to be put on some sort of psych meds for my PTSD. I'm learning that being out here after all the years in there is definitely different. My last meeting with the counselor last week, she agreed with me. I don't need any meds. I don't like my mind altered anymore. So I have grown up, matured, educated myself in many areas while I was in prison. Areas was no longer exist as the budget cuts took away all these programs. I'm a well-adjusted 62-year-old man with a bum back. He's been in prison for 38 years. He's looking for a job with an ankle monitor on, with a sex offender registration on me. I understand all that. I accept it. I did this to myself. But sooner or later, one of these companies is going to take a chance with me, and when they do, they're going to be real surprised at the hard work and man they're going to get.
So let me see if the board has any additional questions. Send no additional questions coming from the board, sir. I want to go ahead and speak with your parole officer at this time.
You are welcome to speak at 3:05.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, sir. I'm right here.
All right, sir. So I do have the progress report that you wrote up here, and that since he's been out, he's been looking for a job. Tell us a little bit about how Mr. Bruni is as far as being one of your parolees, sir.
As far as the grades, extremely compliant. We've had no issues with him other than a minor misunderstanding as far as itinerary went, and I think it was the very first day. But that was not a, you know, not by any means a deliberate thing, and it was rectified immediately. Seldom seen such determination to go around the job interviews, and he is not exaggerating at all with the number of interviews he's attended. And I can also verify that he has been offered several jobs, but unfortunately, a lot of them wanted flexibility in hours, which the
for because we have to, you know, pre-plan it for the week ahead. And I would say no less than five of them have wanted somebody who is almost like on call status. So that has been a bit of a downer for him on that area when he knew he could have otherwise been employed. But it has not deterred him from continuing to work.
Okay.
And aside from that, I also know that due to the level of his own trade skills, he could very well be self-employed and able to take care of himself that way. However, with the restriction as it is, that would not be possible because he wouldn't be able to respond to work demands as a self-employed person does on short notice. But very, very determined, very compliant, and no issues at all with him. The driver's license restriction that I know he would, at the very least, like lifting today if the board saw fit to grant that, that does look like a positive thing. The truck driving school has only caused us one issue in the past, which was when they wanted overnight drivers, which is not always something you can do if somebody is on parole with a sex offense history. So although that looks very positive, I don't want him to put all his eggs in one basket and rely on that too much. But he does look very, very positive as far as getting a job soon. And as he did say, if the board's over to change his homeware status today, I would not doubt he could possibly get a job by the end of the week. I'm just very impressed with his behavior and his general outlook and attitude completely.
All right, so the board have any questions on the parole officer? Okay, sir, can you put Mr. Bruni back on the line?
Yes, sir. Mr. Bruni, yes, sir.
Sir, the board's about to come up on a conclusion on your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
Not really, sir. I'm already doing my very best. I love my freedom. I see no reason in any way, shape, or form for being violated in any way. I don't play games with people. I'm honest with you, and my honesty's cost me not getting a job many times, but I can't be nothing but honest. I'm an old convict. I don't have references other than the Department of Corrections. I don't have other jobs to be able to work other than the ones I had in prison. So I'm doing the best I can out here with the limitations placed on me. If the board saw fit to grant me a criminal parole and remove this ankle monitor from me and allow me to get my driver's license, all I can do is continue to advance myself and taking care of myself, staying out of trouble, and getting a job, and taking care of business better.
Okay. All right, sir. The board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Bruni, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, sir, however, to remain silent. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves. We'll make a determination as to what the board's going to do, whether to grant or continue or deny your parole, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. The board is now into discussion. I do believe that Mr. Bruni is definitely out there trying to find a job. He's searching. He's riding his bike. He's trying to find a job out there, but he hasn't been able to find a job out. He's been out for 3 months. I think that he is still attending sex classes. I think that at this point in time, it would be advantageous better for Mr. Bruni to remain on home arrest and continue to look for a job, continue to get himself together. I do have some concern about him at this stage of the game with the sex offender status, being able to go out and drive trucks, depending on what that situation is. But the PO alluded to that same fact too. But I'm not in objection to. He is getting around on his bike, but I'm not in objection to him being able to get his driver's license. So, you know, my recommendation would be to continue Mr. Bruni on home arrest with the same restrictions and with a notation that he should be allowed to obtain his driver's license. That would be my motion. So, and basically, so actually, it would be to deny, well, he's on home arrest, so it would be to deny absolute discharge or regular parole, and that way he would continue on his home arrest under the same.
I would go along with that, I think.
I agree.
So, is that, so also, did you make a motion?
Yeah, the motion would be to deny.
To deny.
General parole and home arrest.
Absolute discharge.
And absolute discharge and continue on home.
Yeah.
Grant the home arrest.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, I'm also going to make a notation that.
But to restore the driving.
Okay, I'm going to make a little note on here.
Just, yeah, maybe write it.
Just a little. Okay. That's restore his driver's license. So the motion would be to. I'm just going to go over this. The motion would be to continue or to grant the home arrest, to deny regular parole or a absolute discharge.
Yes.
So that would be the motion. The motion was by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Agreement, Mr. Quinones?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Bruni?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to grant or continue on home arrest to deny an absolute discharge or regular parole at this time. So you've been on for 3 months. We do want to wish you the best of luck and hope that you do find a job, continue your classes that you're actually taking. And we want to wish you all of the success, although it may be difficult, that you continue under the same conditions that you're currently working on now with your home arrest, okay?
Will I be allowed to get a job again?
Yes, yes. I'm going to mark on here that you follow all mandatory DOC conditions. All sex offender conditions apply. No alcohol use, random drug tests. That I'm not going to mark that you may not operate a motor vehicle. No contact with victim's family. If you have any restitution, that you have to pay restitution. You have to abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming as directed. And then I'm going to make a little note on here to restore your driver's license, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Okay, Mr. Bruni, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. I want to thank you for participating in the hearing, as well as Officer Kane.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we're going to be disconnecting the phone at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.